Okay, Rabbi Sayyidat Chof Vav, Maseches Tamid. We're starting at the Gemara. So yesterday, the Mishnah asserted that we have three Mekemes of Shemira of Kayani. The first we want to know, how do we know exactly this halacha? There's a general din that we learned in Kerach, where it says Beferish over there. The mitzvah of Shemira. V'shomru, v'shamartan, mitzvah saseh, it says it b'loshan, what to do. It's a chiyat, v'shomru. The Gemara doesn't even bring that pasuk. And it's interesting, why would the Gemara not bring that pasuk? The Gemara Taina is the reason it doesn't say the pasuk is because that pasuk, it says b'feirish, that the tachlis of the Shemira was that Zar lo yikare. Because it was a response to the Kulana Mesi. And that after the Maisa of Kerach, Bnei Yisrael were very upset. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a mitzvah of Shemira over there. There you could learn that it means Dafka in order that there should be no Kirub of Zar. So the mainland, they said, Mikdash has Sharim. It's not like a Mishkan, which is a tent. Anybody can break in. What do you need people for? How are you going to get into the Beis HaMikdash? Yeah, exactly. You know, it's... There's no chashash. We're looking for a different marker. Okay, I mean, the Pashtus, the Gemara is trying to see where we get the idea that there's bedavke, a mokum of three. Where does that come from? That's the Kayani, Meshemer, Meshalash, Mekanis. Omer Abaye, Omer Kra, Chunim, Lifnei Mishkan, Kedma, Lifnei Ohel Moed, Mizrocha, Meisha v'ara in vanav eshemri mishmeres hamigdash l'mishmeres b'nei Yisrael. So you see over here that you have a chiyuv of shmira of ara in vanav. I understand. Amri in shmira b'yama ashkan the boy. I understand that we need a shmira. That wasn't my question. Let's skip these next words. Miu mas nisin katani b'shloi shemekayim esakayim shamrim b'beit hamigdash. It says beferish that there need to be three separate places for Kehanim, and the Shaila is, where in the world does that come from? That's what I'm asking. Because the Pasuk does not discuss Kehanim. The Pasuk discusses Meisha, Aaron, Levad. You're splitting it up between Kehanim, where there's Kehanim, Levad, and then you have another 21 Mekemes where you have Levad. That I don't see in the Pasuk. I see everything together. Says the Gemara, because you look up, the Pasuk gives us no indication that it's not Meisha Aaron Avon, it's Kainim and Levim together. Amri, Alchikama. No, you're reading the Pasuk wrong. The Pasuk does not say Meisha Aaron Avon. The Pasuk says like this, V'achonim lifnei ha-mishkan keidma, lifnei oil moed mizrocha Meisha. The Aaron Uvanav Shemir Mishmeres HaMikdash. So that's Aaron Uvanav, Aaron Bechadim, okay? Bonav Bishnei Mekemes. I'm not just playing games with the Pasukim. Why do I say it that way? Because you have two separate issues over here. You have Hachonim. What's this whole introduction? Hachonim, Lifnei HaMishkan Kedma. Why don't you just say it? Say, Lifnei Oyal Meyed Mizrocha, Meisha Aaron Uvanav Shemir Mishmeres HaMikdash. The whole introduction of Hachonim that seems to be talking about a different thing, Hachonim with Neamishkan Kedma, I mean, that is Mizracha. So what is that? Clearly, there's two separate issues. You have the Mokum Chanias HaLevim. That's represented by Meisha and the Levim. That's one issue. Then you have something that's more related directly to the Mishmeres HaMikdash itself, where a Levi can't be the one who's in charge. That's already Aaron Avada. And therefore, I made a siva chaynim. And then separately it says shemrim. So clearly the chaynim are lechud, and chaynim in fact is always the way we refer to the Levian. The Levian are chaynim, saviv, amishkan, stressing that back in the beginning of Bamidbar. So this is really a key word that lets us know that there's a separate shmira of Levian, and then you have
the word chaynim.
Yeah.
What does it mean literally?
To be chone, parking lot. In other words, where it is that they camp out? So it's Lashon Machane. Yeah. And you have Meisha on one marker, And you have Aharon Uvanov. Now that's Aharon. That's a separate place. And so you have Chayim Lechut, Shayim Lechut, and the male, everything is fine. Well, but how do you know that it's Aharon Uvanov separate? I mean, maybe it's a... Maybe, first of all, I mean, it could be that it's separating Kayanim and Levi'im, that's all. In other words, maybe you have Shmir of Kayanim and Shmir of Levi'im, but who's to say that each one is a Mokim? I mean, Ema Kula Bechad Mokim Lechudai? How do I know that each one is separate? Maybe all together you have one Mokim of Aharon Uvanov, and then you have one Mokim of Meshach. You have Levi'im and Kayanim. And la 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 sak. That for sure can't be the pshat. Because if you're comparing in the Pasuk Meisha to Aharon Uvanov, then the pshat is, Ma Meisha b'chad makom l'chudei. Meisha is mentioned here as an individual. Okay, so that means that an individual has a particular shmira that is designated to him. So then Aharon Uvanov each have a particular shmira dedicated to him. It's l'chudei, it's his. Aharon Uvanov, b'chad makom, the point of here is that each one is given the chashivas of kemesha, and each one has to have a place all for himself.
B'chad makom l'chudei. So it's Aharon, and then two sons each is three?
Mm-hmm. And that's the three, the shleishim kemesh, that is referred to in our Mishnah. Rav Ashi says, it's not because of the comparison to Meisha. It's because the Pasuk says, three lishenis of shmirah altogether. It says shemrim mishmeres lemishmeres. Each one of those is a separate issue, which tells us that there's three mekemes of shmirah in the mikdash proper. We'll see that the levim weren't really in the mikdash proper; they were not in the bayis, they were outside of it. But these three mekemes are merumas in the shemrim mishmeres and lemishmeres. Then the Mishnah identified the places, and it said the Beit Aptinas and the Beit Hanitzotz were both aliyot. Now, the question is, what does that mean exactly? When you say they're aliyot, I mean, it's two ways of understanding aliyot. An aliyah could mean a tower. In other words, something that is built in me'al, so that you get a good view of the territory, which is roi for Shemirah. So it's a makom of Shemirah tower. Or it could mean literally. There was a shimush that was being done underneath, the way we usually talk about on the aliyah, the second story. Something else is happening on the first story. What exactly do you mean over here? Is it aliyot mamashavu? Or dilma da'avi gavi amigbaka aliyot? Or do you mean that it was me'al, not that it was literally a second story?
The first one would be a freestanding tower, as opposed to being built?
It would be uplifted, whatever. In other words, they raised the floor till it got very high, but it doesn't mean that there was a shimush underneath. Tashma, Ditzan, Shibitzafam. There the Mishnah Midas is going through the various gates around the Yazara, and it says that on the northern side there was a Shara Nitzotz. The Shara Nitzotz it describes now as being related to our Beit HaNitzotz. Uchemin Achsadrahaya. So the Shara itself was built open so that people could go through. It was like an open porch. And above it, there was a second story. Now, here already, we get into a major machlokas rishonim. How do we learn this? The simple mashma'ut, when you read the Mishnah and Midot that we're quoting, is that in the Shar HaTzafon, the Levim were also watching, except they were on ground level, and the Kohanim were on the upper level. But if that's the case, it means that the Shalosh Mekemes that are listed over here of Hakohanim Shomrim includes Levim, except that one was on top and one was on the bottom.
In the Esrim, one of the three, one of the 21 will be.
That's not clear. So we have three different approaches to this. The Rambam learns that you have the 21 mekemes have nothing to do with these three mekemes. It says over here, lamala, lamata, that has to mean in other places. It was wherever the kohanim watched their lamala, wherever the levim watched their lamata. It doesn't mean here in the Shara Nitzotz. Where you had a mokum, where there were kohanim that might be in the same area, The Kohanim were, when they watched, they were above. And wherever the Levium watched, not where the Kohanim were, the Levium were on the bottom. So in other words, there was a different Madrega of Chashivas for the Shmirah HaKayanim. But it's not a reference to the same place. There were three Mekemes of Kayanim, 21 Mekemes of Levium. In the three Mekemes HaKayanim, the Kohanim watched from a higher level. In the 21 Mekemes of Levium, Levium watched on ground level. That's how he's forced to learn the sugya.
A question of Kohanim inside Levium and outside?
We'll talk about it. That's a different issue, which we'll get to. Then you have the opposite approach. The opposite approach, the full opposite approach, is there's this. Start like this. There's the Smog's approach. The Smog's approach is that there were really 24 Mekemes of Shmira for Levium. Well, I shouldn't say that. That wherever the Kohanim watched, Levium also watched. Okay. Now, there's two ways of understanding that. You can understand it the way the Bach understands it, the way the Rash explains the Mishnah in Midos, which is that there were a total of 24 places, 21 of which the Levium watched alone, where there were no Kohanim, three of which are the three places here in the Mishnah of Shlosha Mekemes, the Kohanim were Shemrim. Those were also places where the Levium, as it says over here, Levium were downstairs. In the Beit HaMoked, where if you learn like those shittas, the Beit HaMoked was ground level. So again, it's the Kohanim were inside, so that was Lamala, so to speak. And the Levim were outside, so that's Lamata. And it's the Mimachalik, the jobs and the Chashivas of the jobs. There's a third shita, which is the Rosh's shita, that says that indeed the Gemara means exactly what it says.
Is it the Rosh Reish Alashem?
Yeah, not the Rosh.
Not the Rosh.
So where he says that the meaning is indeed, like the Gemara says, that there were Levium watching here, exactly where the Kohanim were, but it doesn't mean that the total of the Levium were 24. It means that three out of the 21 that the Levium were watching and included the Shalosh Mekemes and the Kohanim. So there were 18 other places besides the places mentioned in the Mishnah, and a total of 21 places where Levium would watch. So we basically have three different approaches to the sugya. We'll see that later on it's very, very mashma that there were not a total of 24 places, and indeed the Rishonim ask on each other from there. But we'll get to there. What this is dependent in also, we'll see tomorrow, there's machloksim that might impact upon us. So now the question is, how do we learn this sugya? When it says now that the Kohanim were Shem Lamala and Alevim Milamata, so again, we have two approaches to that. Either it means even in this place, which is the shita of those who hold that there were Levium watching together with the Kohanim, or it means Bechlal Mokam of Shmira in general, but it doesn't mean to share this place.
So one of them, just saying it back, what Ruby's saying, one of them is that it's describing the Shari Mitzvahs, and then saying Shakon and Shem Yomal Levium Mata here, and the other is here's the base of Mitzvahs, and then here's the general principle, Kohanim are always
there. That's how you have to learn. And it's not related to the Beit HaMitzvahs, it's direct. And this Shar HaNitzotz, rather this Beit HaNitzotz, had an opening to the Chol. Of course, Chol doesn't mean literally Chol. It means to the Harabayit, but compared to the Kedushas HaZorah, it was the Chol. So Mela wasn't a Kedush for Kedushas HaZorah, which allowed people to nap or to sit down and so on, which explains why it says in the Mishnah that there were places for lying. Now, so how do we know this? Now, how do we know this? Again, the question of what we're asking, how do we know what? And the Shaila is, it depends, of course, what you just learned. If what you just learned was that the Kohanim are Lamala and the Levium are Lamata at the Beit HaNitzotz, then we're asking, how do we know that Levium actually work together with the Kohanim? We just finished proving that we have Moshe in one place and Aaron in one of separately. And now you're telling me, well, actually, the Aaron of Vanav is in one place together with the Moshe, but not with all of the Moshe, but with three of the Moshe, so to speak, the Levian. How do you know that? The Paxis, you already determined that it would be separate. Okay, now that would be only work according to the Shitas. That's how we understand the question of Gemara. Either according to the Shita there was a total of 24 Mekaymes, or according to the Shita of the Rosh, that these three Mekaymes were part of the 21 Mekaymes. So then we can ask, how do you know that we should have them both in the same place? Since the Paxis of the Pasuk we brought before was that they should not be in the same place. The other way of learning would be, how do we know that the Shmira of the Kohanim was given a greater status, that they should be Shomer Milamala, and that the Levim have a lower status than that they are Milamata, with whatever that means. So it means Milamata doesn't necessarily have to mean below, because not all the places were had an up and a down, but below would mean on a lower level, as we would say. And on a lower level means figuratively speaking. So if it comes to the question of Bifnim or Bechutz, let's say, where the greater Chashivas is to be inside the gateway, and the lesser Chashivas is to be outside. So the inner Shomer would be a Kohen, and an outer Shomer would be a lady. That would be the meaning of the Minohanim either. The Tana Rabbanan, V'yavu alecha v'yasharatucha. What's the pshat over here? This is yet another pasuk now. We're explaining that the Levim should also come, Mishpachas Avicha, Shevet Avicha. Shevet Avicha, Aaron is called the Shevet HaLevi, where you come from. Let them also come. V'yelavu alecha, Lashon of Levia. Let them be mitlave to you, v'yisharetucha. And they should do the work, they should be misharis you. What's the pshat? Apparently it's saying, b'avodatcha katov midaber. In other words, you are going to be doing your work, which was the original, the opening pasuk where Aaron was told, Aaron uvanav yishmeru etz mishmeres hakedesh, and then it says, v'nivu alecha, bring them along also. So bring them along also means that when you're doing your job of your shmira, they should have a position together with you. Which proves that even in the three places that we learned out from Aaron Uvanav, there should be a Levui of Levian in those three places as well. Except that we are mechalik, that one is on a lower level, one is only a Levui, and one is on a higher level. There are those who learn that the Pshat, even according to those that say that the Levian were in the same place as the Kehanim, that they were only Meshartim the Kohen. It's not that they had a separate shmirah with all big peacock hats and so on. It's that they would basically, if the shamer was a Kohen, needed a cup of coffee, then they would be Yisharet, the Kohen. It's not that it was a separate shmirah. That would be the, you like that, Barney. I see that. He's got his plans already. He figures he's got the guy downstairs. What does he have to schlep now to Menorah?
I've served a cup of coffee now over here as I was doing work. So Grandma
said, because today
is
coffee.
I asked, do I have to say
Shem Omer?
He said, no, you can have it. But
so maybe we should be Zeke Attack and get rid of the coffee today. There's a lot of pressure,
huh?
Really?
What's
that?
Okay. Coffee on him. Coffee.
So this explains why it's not 24, because they have 21 others, and these three are not.
Yeah, exactly.
24, so it's like 21 plus.
Right, right. That actually answers one of the serious questions that we'll see later against those who hold that there were 24. Right? So we'll see later, the Gemara is going to ask, we won't get to today, but the Gemara is going to ask the Bryce is going to ask, you just said 24. But I thought it's only 21. So obviously the question is, what do you mean? Well, three would include the Mekayim Zakayim. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's how they get out of it. It is a real Shmira. It's just a Levui to be Mesharet Kohen. In any event, so how do we explain that? Must be that they are also Mitlavet of the Kohanim in the Mekumot of the Kohanim. Well, wait a second. That's what you say. I mean, Atal Merba Vodatzchakat of Medaber. I mean, how do you know that's what it means? Oh, Eino Elaba Vodatam? I mean, maybe the Pshat is that bichlal, the general rule is that Kohanim do the Aveda and the Beis HaMikdash, And Levim do their Aveda, which is a Levoy. They do the singing, and they do the Psich HaShorim. How do you know it's a reference to the actual Shemirah? It doesn't say over here Shemirah, does it? Ah, I'll tell you why. Because Kishu Omer v'nilvu alecha v'shavlu mismeres HaKadosh. There's no such pasuk of L'chol Kilav L'chol Avodasov, but anyway, as we know, the Gemara often changes psukim in order not to be saying Baal Peh more than three words without... Yeah. The psukim are changed in order to avoid, because this way they used to say Baal Peh. So to make sure they weren't quoting a pasuk Baal Peh, more than three words is not allowed to quote. So they would have to say a general, the general thing like L'chol Kelev L'chol Avodasov.
Unless it was crucial to have the exact word.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we don't need the words over here, but we do need to understand what is added by V'nil Vualecha.
I'm sorry. So like with Sarta Kesef V'yadech, so it was like a mnemonic to remember those psukim that address this, and to rephrase, it's easy to remember.
That kind of thing.
Would that be?
You're Mekats of the Pasuk, Saris the Pasuk, and so on. But there are many, many, many places in Rebruvim Margolius has a big article. And you see, where you see clearly they went out of their way not to quote the Pasuk properly.
What's the law? What's the
famous, it's interesting, he just came over. I just quoted him 2 days ago, Rebisser Zalman. Rebisser Zalman was married to my aunt. The whole family was absolutely wild women. The type of people that knew Tanakh, Baal Peh, and so on. I had my great grandmother, who was the sister. I had as a child experience of learning with her. She was totally blind. We had a seder in Tanakh. She would sit out on her. She was quite advanced age. She would sit out on her rocking chair on the porch, and I would read from the book. And she constantly corrected me. No, that's not what it says. I would stumble. I was a kid. It's only she would say exactly the word that it said, including the whole Yom Kippur davening, all Rosh Hashanah davening, Mamish, everything about that. Not to mention the fact that she always knew exactly what time it is. She loved to hear the news. So if it would come the hour, she would get up from the chair, turn on the news exactly as, the NBC came on, and that was it. So here, this is Zalman. I used to go visit there all the time, 40 years ago, and his daughter was living in the house. He told me over the mice, he would sit and learn with his chavrus, from Mir and so on. They were learning the Gemara, and they would start arguing about stuff, when a voice would come from the other side of the house, and would shout out the correct nusach of the pasuk. That's not the pasuk. This is what it says. This is Amin Yad. Ritual used to say, over shteit hazei the Gemara. But I know it from the Tanakh.
What's the issue with writing the pasuk?
Same pasuk in Baal Peh. You're not allowed to say pasuk in Baal Peh. So, because of that, the Gemara was originally made to be said Baal Peh, so this pasuk doesn't exist. But the important words, the nilvu alecha, together with the yilavu alecha, understand, how do you understand the two pasuk? The yilavu alecha v'yishartucha, and then we have the nilvu alecha v'shomru. What's that coming to add? So obviously, the pshat over here is, habrei ba'avodatabamur. We now know that they will have their own Aveda. The meaning of the Lavu Alecha is in terms of what you are doing. So again, either meaning the same type of thing that you are doing, because that would, otherwise it would be saying the Feirish, they would be in these three places, which the Rambam holds is not. So the type of thing, when they do it, are considered to be nilvim. So how do I show them as nilvim? They're second class, so to speak. They do it only on a level of a levoy to the ikar. So the kohen is always shown to be more chashuv, and the levi, we recognize in what he's doing that he's a nilveh. That's one way of it. Or on Adarav, it's gufa coming to prove that in the same place that you're actually there, they are there, but milamata. So Babodatra Katov Midaber. Haketzat Kanim Shomrim Lamala Levim Lamata in the same place would be the meaning according to the Smar, or where they do it according to the Rambam. Then the Mishnah continues Beit Moket Kippa Ubayit Gadol Haya and so on. Asks the Gemara, how could it be that there was only one Shemira in the Beit Moket? It should say v'chad shimur hu dahavi, not chad shomer. Why? Because as I mentioned to you earlier, the Rambam, it's mashma, the Rambam, from the Rambam that there were 10 people in each place.
Chad shimur.
That's how the Bach changes the girsa. So you can't ask, is it enough to have one shomer? There never was one shomer. Wherever the Kohanim were, there were 10. The Rambam uses the lashon of eidah when he talks about the shemira. Okay, it's not clear what his mocker is. I mean, obviously, if he's using Eidah, he's referring to a drasha somewhere that says Ein Eidah Pach Tviyeser and so on. I mean, otherwise, a very strange reference to Eidah. And indeed, the Mefarshim explained it. Shilta Gibarim explains it. And others, it's taken for granted that that's what it means at this time. Wherever you have a Shmira. We'll see later on a little bit of a problem by the power bar.
There were
really 10. So a Shlomish Mekomish does it. In other words, initially, indeed, it's expressed in terms of the Mishkan Aron Ushtei Banov, which are individuals. But once you have a teeming kahuna and a teeming Migdash instead of a small Mokom of a Mishkan, where in the Mishkan it's, you know, you have basically one entrance and that's it. So then already it becomes the Derech HaKavod to have 10.
Teeming as in T-E-E?
T-E-E. Yeah. In other words, originally were only 3 Kayanim, and obviously you can't have 30 people.
And then I'll also explain why they'd be together, even in the Mashmud of the Pasuk, is that they were separate. I mean, that they would be the same reason. Because you got a bigger place now, you have more.
Yeah.
Which Kohanim did this? The same Kohanim where they were doing the Avoda during the day?
Yeah, the Kohanim didn't have a problem of of the Isser, don't do this. And they weren't given particular Mishmarot like the Levian, where Midiraisa, you can only do your thing. As a matter of fact, fantastic. That was one of the things that they tainted against the din of the Chiddush HaShmira. Because if a Levi would be Isaac in Shmira as a mitzvah, he might be a Mishorer, and he'll be Chayav Misa for being Isaac in Shmira, because then he's doing the work of the Shearim. So you think you're coming to Batal Atakein when you say Mikalke? And we were Chayav the guy in Isser. You know, there was always a lot of good reasons not to be Mechadish something.
So, for what I'm asking,
no, but it's like an argument.
Were there other Kohanim that did the Shemira, not the ones who were doing the Avoda that week?
I don't think necessarily that the Shemira wasn't able to do them. But again, according to the Rambam and his Diak, it is very much from this pasuk. Here it says Ba'avodascha, and we're calling it an Aveda. So according to him, it was done in Big Day Kahuna. I mean, then it's an actual Aveda. I mean, then that's your job. Again, according to him, it's only done at night. So, I mean, it's not necessarily a violation. You can't do anything else here. Any Kohen is allowed to do whatever he wants during that week.
To the roving, or to the Pirkei Kohuna, the Shmira?
We'll talk about that in a minute. So, V'chad Shimur, who happened to Beit HaMoked, isn't it true that every entrance requires a Shmira? And it says that, V'ramini, Shnei Sharim Hayu Beit HaMoked, Echad Batuach Lechel, the Chel over here, which could be instead of Chol, before also some regards, Lechel, is the area in the Harabayit which is from the Chel inward. Now, even though the Midiraisa, there's no separate, there's only 3 Machanas, and this is all part of the Machan and Levia, but nonetheless, the Chel was given Midirabon in a higher level of Darga. And there they answered, you know, they recovered the sign in Greek, you know, they were warning the goyim against coming in.
Three
signs. They recovered 3 signs. Wow. So all 3 are in Istanbul?
No, one's in Rockefeller, one's in a museum, there are fragments, but the whole one is in Istanbul.
Uh-huh. Oh.
It's staggering.
Yeah, it's a staggering thing to see. The warning a goy who comes in that he'll be killed. That's pretty straightforward.
These Arabs said there was no base of Migdash.
Guys, look at this.
Well, I don't know what they're going to do with the Istanbul Museum.
That's why they're going to have no Jews allowed.
That's right.
No, they'll use that against us, and then let's just say it was a harbor.
Anyway, so it says Beferish here. There were two doorways. One opened into the Chel, meaning into the Harabai, and one opened into the Azara. And Rabbi Yehuda explained that Bezer Shenich Nasim LaAzara, the truth is there were really two gates over there, even where you walked into the Azara, because the outside gate, because the outside of the Azara, because you didn't want to have the gate open completely. There was a Pishpesh Katan Hayalo. We'll see later on in Midos, the Indian of the Pishpeshim. But it means actually what it says is you could be Mefashfesh, you can squeeze your way in. But it was, and very often you find in large gates, there's a little tiny doorway. Think in Shar Yafo, there's a little tiny doorway. There it's built into the gate itself. But what they would have is, in order not to open up the gate to make things vulnerable, you want one person to come in. Open up a small entrance where one person can get through.
It's like an ancient turnstile. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it serves the same purpose.
You can help the tunnels to the right of Warren's gate. You see the outline. A small, tiny door. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what they would do is, as we'll see in a moment, the covert of the Beis HaMikdash was not standing, you walked in, he knocks on the door, open it up. They marched around the perimeter, checking everything to make sure everything is in its place. Again, that's part of the union of Shmira. So you walk down, you check it out, and so I actually saw this happening. And I'm telling you, I'm mamish. I never understood the beginning of Shmira Beis HaMikdash until I saw this. I think it was last year. I happened to be, it was last year, maybe 2 years ago.
In London,
I happened to be on the street. I had no idea this was going to happen. It was with Spur. When it turned out that Putin had come to town, and little did I know that the Queen is related to Putin. As it comes out that he was from the original Mishpachas HaMelucha, and that they were originally connected with the Romanovs, and so it's a whole complicated family thing. But she wanted to be aimed on the fact that it's not Stam coming as an elected leader, but that there's a Sibur to Malchus. So they did a very rare thing, that there's a whole Seder in Yonim, how many horses you use for each, how many carrots you use for each thing. They gave him Parshat the royal treatment. So I see all of a sudden the street is mitmalay with soldiers of this and people walking around with big uniforms. And what the heck? I couldn't get home. I couldn't go that way. I could only go the other way. So somebody says to me, don't leave. It's worth staying. So we waited. It took quite a while. But mamish the Shiva, see the getter of Shmira. There was nothing they were being shamed from. They weren't going to be effective. Somebody wanted to shoot or whatever. But basically, they had for an hour before the Queen came out, marching back and forth along the road to make sure that everything is straight. The Queen, so marching back and forth. Then you have a whole parade of horses coming first. And then the soldiers go again. And then they line up on either side. Well, what's the shot they line up? I mean, they line up. They're all very nice. They line up. So that they're sitting, but before they stand there, you go somebody who paces off and puts a mark. He has a little ruler, you know, that flips. And every time the ruler flips, another person stands.
Exact.
Yeah, exact. So first of all, they're placed up here, ruler. Then comes another guy. He comes walking down, looks at each person, pulls down their baguette, sees if everything is, if their head is too low, he hits them on the chin, pops them up. They should all have the correct posture. Right? Talking about hundreds of people on the street. Then comes another guy with a sword. The sword extended so that if your nose is sticking out too far in the wrong direction, you'll cut your nose off.
No.
Now each one should be exactly along a line for no purpose at all. And then finally, when everybody is satisfied that each one has been the kite, out comes the Queen with her. Unbelievable. But it was so moving to see. The Indian had covered Malchus that was just in Shmira for no purpose. Mamish, what's going on? He said it would pace off the Azara, which is called to be Beilesh the Azara. So, Balashut. So, you know, make sure everything's in its place. nothing has been touched, everything is ready to go. Then they would come back to the shahr and they would open up the main shahr. But in order for the Mimunah to get in, the psicha first was through the pishpesh. So we had a pishpesh katana yalo. Yeah.
So there was a mitzvah to stay for the
tickets. My father's used to tell you that if they don't have the power
to kill,
then they're not really called malachim, they're just figureheads. But his father, Zatzal, he told me that when Haile Selassie came to the UN to beg for help against the Italian invasion, so his father took him, they ran to be able to see Haile Selassie. He doesn't know then. Sergei, ani b'emtza shiur. Shalom.
When Reagan came to Borough Park.
Huh?
When Reagan came to Borough Park. Was
Reagan?
Anyway, the big Shiloh. I've never heard about it.
There's an Indian of COVID for sure. The Shiloh Lagabi, the broth already. You can't tie it to me Friday. You know what I mean? Because if it doesn't have chaos, you can't call it Friday the
Bosom. But a commander-in-chief can send people to the death with control over a person's death.
Okay, could be. I'm not coming to discuss the halacha, because I was in so excited. Okay, so anyway, so there was a pishpesh cotton, that bone of Hasim Levlosh Azara, you go ahead and you do the balashut in the Azara to go around before. So the question is over here, if that's the case, then it's not clear what the question is. Is the question that we should need a separate shmirah for the pishpesh and the shahr, or is it that there were two shahrim, one that opened into the chel and one that opened into the azara, and they should need separate shmirah? The answer that the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Akiva deGabei Hadadi Havi Kaimei Sagilu B'chad Shomer, since these two were together, again, depending on how you understand the question, is together in the sense one was opposite the other, or together is one was right next to each other. Now, the Lamaisa, the Mefarish brings both, the Keneged and the Smuchib, Lahadadi. And that's because he's quoting the Lashon of various Rishonim. So therefore, Dabi Lahacha, of a Dabi Lahacha. A single Shemer would be sufficient because he's can look to both sides and achieve a shmir over both areas. Yeah. Mukaf Rovdin Shel Evan. The next thing you said was that there were rows, or whatever this means, Rovdin of Evan, that people slept on. What exactly are Rovdin? Rovdin my Nino. Rovdin are Gizrata di Itztabata. Gizrata di Itztabata. Sounds like it was cut out, goes there, cut out, stones that were cut out, to make itztaba'ot, which are stairs, essentially, the salkibu li itztabata. In other words, you got up on level one, and then you could go up to level two. The problem is, miyabi miflagi avani, I thought you couldn't cut stones in the Beit HaMikdash. You're saying it's a gizri.
In the Beis HaMikdash, you're talking
about. Yeah, but I thought you didn't cut stones in the Beit HaMikdash at all. Doesn't it say v'habayit bihim banato even shlema, that the bayit was made out of whole stones? And you're saying that they were cut stones in order to allow for making these bed-like stairs that people could bed in. How do you explain that? By the way, it's a machlokas elsewhere, how far that goes. And according to the Rambam, the Isser, the way we're on the Pasuk, it's Machlokas in the Gemara also, whether the din of cutting stones is only Lagabi the Mizbeah. And as far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned, it says in the finish of the Pasuk, you never heard any metal in the Makam that they were building. But that's only in the Makam they were building. They cut it outside and then they brought it in whole, so it was prefab. And then there was no problem, except that the Mizbeah were bad for him. It can't have been cut over there. Even the gima, the asakim, will pass the oven. So here we're asking, but certainly, I mean, the pashtus is that you're saying you had a wall and you cut it down.
And isn't this underground too?
No, it's not only that.
Why the Gemara brings the pasuk from Malachim rather than bringing the pasuk from the Chumash? Lo tanipa lain bars.
No, that for sure is a din in the Mizbeach of Hanof Alon.
The general din from that pasuk.
But I need to find a raya that it's a reference to the Bayit. I mean, otherwise, how can I just bring that pasuk? Omer Abaye says, Abaye, well, it doesn't mean that they cut it there. It means the metakne umaisa mikora avne zutta vavne rabravata. It means that originally they brought in stones that when they built the wall it would turn out that the different thickness of the stones ended up creating a step-like affair in which people were able to sleep. Kirechtiv, I mean, we do find mamish a mentioning of different sized stones, beferush. It says, beferush in the posik, avne eser amot, v'avne shmona amot, that they brought 10 amot stones and 8 amot stones. So apparently they were cut outside and they were brought inside for this itztaba effect. Okay, that's one way of learning. Personally, I'm not too happy with it. Because, I mean, if you're talking about itztaba'ot, the way most people learn is that they were staggered more than one level. This would only allow for one itztaba. Because it says beferish, that you go out from one itztaba to another itztaba. Besides which, why would we describe the particular wall of the Beit HaMoked when we're talking about the construction of the Mikdash as a whole that they brought itztaba? A little difficult to believe. It makes more sense to say, here we're talking about the way in which stones were made wider because of the need for strength at the bottom and the foundation, and got smaller, stone. So we're bringing raya from there that just like they did that for the bias as a whole, so too when it came to the Beit HaMoked, they staggered it. We didn't bother mentioning every different size of a stone, but over there they were able to stagger it in ways that allowed for more than one level. So it's just a dugma. It doesn't mean mamish in this. Not nearly, anyway. So, therefore, the Gemara answers. So you ended up with the Yitztaba'ot. And Zikne Beitav Yishenim Sham. This is a very, very strange thing. To build a building in a way that the... I mean, I understand. If you're in the Rova, I mean, fine. You do these kind of things. Because you break away the walls, you know, to leave these little couches or to leave, you know, like that. Yeah. Niches. I mean, there's a lot of homes in which they use the original part as the couch, mm-hmm. you know, where they cut away, and then even some homes that have an additional niche for the kids to sleep, or you manage to eat the boat in the Rova. But, I mean, why should you build a building in the first place like that? I mean, build a building so that it's built normally and put beds in. I mean, well, this is a very strange way to do things, no? So, why don't you just make a bedroom? Right, so bring beds in, and then you can build a wall normally. Mm-hmm. Look, that people should be doing their job, and they should have a little place on the stone. I mean, okay, that I understand. There, you're only human. You're only human, so you take a little nap. You rest. But you're going to bring in a bed. It's like, you know, basically the whole thing is a comfort issue. You know, next they'll be asking for a jacuzzi. They already have a sauna. I mean, so it's already not derech eretz to pander. So now the whole point over here is the shmir on the mikdash. The memela, they did it this way, that the binyan itself provided for its needs of shmirah, and then it was clear that whoever was there was basically a doing his job.
You could say the deeper level there, the whole base of mikdash. I mean, it's called mitasa.
Yeah, he just mentioned it. The whole base of mikdash is called more than that. It's called chadar mitot. The Steinbeck's name. So Pirkei Kuna Ish Ksuto Ba'aretz. I don't get it. Before you said Harovim Hayusham, and now you're saying the Pirkei Kuna Hayusham. Well, how come they changed their names? Are they Rovim or are they Pirchim? Because both are clearly a reference to youth. So how do you explain a different reference? So awesome. Hokakarilu Pirkei Kuna. Amrein, indeed, Hassam, the lo matul mevad aveda. We were talking about the first part was talking about the shomrim. The shomrim are not going to be doing avod. And now here is, as I mentioned to you, the machlokus, the mefarish learns that this means they were less than 13 years old, which everybody, Tainas, first of all, If you hold Aliva to Rambam, obviously that's ridiculous. I mean, you're wearing the garb, you're doing a mitzvah, Avaydah, you can't be less than 13 years old. And but Bichlal, what kind of covet is that for the bodies? To give to kids? It makes no sense, Bichlal. But, I mean, the Mishnah is saying that that you have, they're not motu la'avaydah. So the other pshat is, loy motu la'avaydah means to be beneath 20. It says, even though mi'ikra, then you may be kosher. But they didn't allow somebody, you know, wasn't already mature. So, okay, so you had to be 20 to do the avodah. That's correct, motu la'avaydah. The nafkamina over here was not a nafkamina in age. This is the way the others learn, as I mentioned in the Likutei Halacha yesterday. It was a mention in difference in job. So where you're not batulamevet aveda, you're not there for purposes of work. If you're not there for purposes of work, we call you stam, a kid. If you're there to work like a man, but you're a youngster, meaning you're still in your early stages of maturity, the motulamevet aveda karlu pirche. The way that the Mefarish is learning, it's literally a difference between puberty, where you're called a pirche, it's a reference to sprouting, and rovim is prepubescence. It would be kodem yud gimel. So we don't refer to pricha, obviously. But, I mean, that would be the pshat that's mit bakesh from the lashon, but very difficult to believe that you have kids that are there to do the malach of shmirah. Okay, so, I mean, this seems to be the pshat that is essentially accepted. That being there for purposes of Aveda makes you a perach. And as we always use the Lashon of Pirchei Kuna in terms of the Zrizas. We find, by the way, Vatelech Ha'alma. Remember, by Miriam, who goes and calls Moshe's mother. He says, why do I call her Alma? Because Shehocha B'Zrizas, Caleb, she was like a young boy. Kids are always running, you know, playing ball, whatever, but they're running, you know. You never see them just sort of, you know, walking around. They're zooming around. So there, the references as Rizas is the getter of the Pricha. Rovim just refers to age, so to speak. So that could be the meaning over here. If you're just standing there, then we go, you're a Rove. And then, of course, there's also the other Lashon, which is that the Rove has a double meaning. Which is that, from here it's clear that that's not the Iker meaning. Because it's contrasting Roveh and Perach. Mm-hmm. But the Roveh has the meaning of a sharpshooter, or he's an archer. The Harovim, that's a Zohar. Rovim of the, those who never learned the Gemara, you know, the archaeologists, they'll read the Mishnah, the Rovim have to mean the archers. Yeah. It's good I didn't learn it that way.
Why did you say Rovim, that the apprenticeship could be a
function? Because it says that they were... Lo Motul Avod, is what were they doing there? Apprenticeship for Shmira and not for Avod? In the front? Maybe. Possible.
Is it advice we should